so much.
Next case, please.
The next case is 12,169. Furniture and More seeks a special use exception to place a tent for special events, sections 115-80 and 115-210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Beacon Drive, north of Lighthouse Road. The 911 address is 38993 Beacon Drive, Fenwick Island. The zoning district is C1. The tax parcel is District 134, Map 23, Parcel 3.04. Again, they're asking for a special use exception for a tent for special events. We received no letters in support, received five mail returns, received a total of seven letters in opposition. I will note that we received two letters from Andrea Watt, and we received two letters from the Condominium Association. So that gets us to seven. We received a letter from Sandra Simpkins that she'd like to convey to the Board of Adjustment that they deny the request for safety of pedestrians and drivers. The tent is a safety hazard, creating blind spots across a large parking lot and preventing drivers' ability to see each other approaching the exit or entry to Route 54. In addition, the tent creates a large volume of pedestrian traffic in the area that is not intended to have that many people in the area. And again, that was from Ms. Simpkins. The letter from Ms. Watt, she also included photos regarding concerns about parking and the ability and the access to the parking lot, the access for cars entering and exiting Route 54 with public safety in question, that the tent provides a visibility issue. Again, their concerns are safety hazards, people dodging, trying to get back and forth to access the property. The homeowners, the Condominium Association, has the following safety concerns: the parking lot on and off ramps and deceleration lane off of 54 is unsafe currently. The absence of deceleration lane southbound make it unsafe for drivers to turn in left into the property, and overgrown unkept trees and shrubberies at the exit or the entrance limits full visibility for drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians for entering and exit. The addition of a tent will further inhibit the visibility. Historically, Furniture and More has placed a tent during peak resort holidays when pedestrian and vehicle traffic is at highest. And then they have concerns about the extra volume of traffic. And they're concerned about the number of parking spaces that are required. And again, that was from the Condominium Association. And then, sorry. And then John Marshall, and I apologize, I cannot make out the handwriting for his last name. He says, as an owner of a condo at the property, I would like to go on the record as being against allowing a tent on the above restaurant property, and he has concerns about property value. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Ms. Cornwell, this is a renewal?
No, this is a new application. Okay. So
can we see those letters and those pictures?
Yep, we can get, were they copies in the, no, because we just received them as we went along. But we can definitely get copies for the record for the commission members or the board members. This is not a renewal. Last year, there was some back and forth. They were granted 3 days. We worked with them with the understanding that it could only be up for a total of 3 days. We did work with them to make sure that they understood it could only be 3 days, and we had to have an inspector go out multiple times to work with them. And then they were told if they wanted it more than 3 days, they had to come through this to the Board of Adjustment.
They already had it there once before.
They were permitted a total of 3 days for last year.
By your permission?
By my permission, because the code does allow the director to allow for not more than 3 days a tent, and they were granted a total of 3 days.
And to clarify, you may recall there was one that we had for Furniture More, but that was at a different location.
Yes.
So I had that name had rung a bell.
Right.
So that, it is a different site altogether than that one.
Okay.
So no permission was granted for this year?
Not for this year, not, no, because they've made the application for the special use exception.
Because there has been a tent there this year.
They have, I can tell you, I have not granted permission for a tent to be at this location.
Okay, thank you.
And I only granted a total of 3 days last year.
Okay, thank you. Are you the applicant?
No, I'm the property manager for Lighthouse View Condominium.
Okay.
I have a little piece of information.
Sir.
Well, you'll have that opportunity, but we want to hear from the applicant first. So will the applicant please come forward and be sworn in?
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Darrell Mumma, 108 Mandy Drive, Road of East Delaware, 19971.
And can you state your last name again?
Milman.
Milman?
Milman.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Not this one. Good evening.
Hello.
You've got, yes, you are in the hot seat, but go ahead. We'd like to hear what you have to say for yourself.
Okay. I was asked to come here kind of last minute. I didn't really know what to expect, so I kind of put some notes together. I was there when the store opened. I didn't manage the store until this past August is when I took over. But I was there. We had the tent sale there 2 times last year, which we had permits for both times. And then we had it there once this year, which was
Memorial Day weekend.
Right. We had the tent sale there for that. Traditionally, what we do is we have it on Memorial Day and Labor Day. From what I'm told here is that the code, I guess, is that you have the tent, you're allowed to have the tent 3 times a year for a total of 3 days each time.
If that's granted each year by the director.
Okay. So what we've done in the location of the two Dover stores, I know one of the Dover stores and one of the store in Rehoboth, is get the waiver to not do it 3 times a year, but do it 2 times a year and do it for the 10 days. So I'll read what I put together, and then I'll try to field any questions that come from that.
Well, you can, you know, give us your request,
right,
but you also need to explain to us or convince us that it will not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring adjacent properties.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
So we're asking for the exemption for actually one less, but for a long replacement each time, 10 days each time. Twice a year. This allows us to capture 2 weekends. The tent is roughly about $2,500 to rent. And then there's a 2-day manpower to set it up, bring the inventory in, same thing on the other end of it, take it down, move the inventory out. So essentially the first weekend usually is good enough, you know, that's why we pick those times to do it. The first weekend we'll pay for the tent. The second weekend is where we have any kind of, you know, positive financial outcome of the tent. The reasoning behind it is that as a local business to the Fenwick community, there are 2 times a year that, along with many businesses in the area, that we can really set ourselves up to be successful yearly open business for our community. Once is the kickoff of the summer season, with an inventory increase of much needed items such as sofa sleepers, which is the number one thing down there, etc. The tent awards the opportunity to expand our inventory and have it readily available for the customers. We have a great deal of realtors, condo investors, local businesses that rely on this for their needs because they come there and they buy it right off the floor. They need it yesterday. A lot of realtors, a lot of people that rent their places. And it helps provide the financial boost needed for the influx of the summer business. The second is to have the season end event, which is pretty much the same as the aforementioned opportunity. The tent is vital to sell down the inventory from the season and put a strong foothold on going into the off-peak season. The Labor Day tent sale will allow, you know, the great savings to the community, members through the model closeouts, more so the overstocked product that we get rid of, and it reduces the inventory to a manageable level. And this lets us exit the season in a more suitable place to continue to be a year-round open business for our community. many, if not most, businesses in that area closed down, just for the season they closed down, and don't reopen until the season comes back for the next summer. This is how we close out, and it puts, you know, money in the piggy bank to carry us through so that we can stay open. The other locations...
Sir, with all due respect, your needs and reasons are not what we're here for tonight.
Right, I know, I'm getting there.
If you get right to it, we'd appreciate it.
All right, so the... what seemed to be the concern is the space for the adjacent community that's behind us. The tent is positioned, and I don't know, I've got the printout, and I don't know if you guys have...
We have that.
We have that.
You have that, okay. So with the tent being positioned 40 feet away from the building, 40 foot away from the entranceway, 40 foot away, all sides are 40 feet away, then they're 40 feet away from the gated community that's behind us at an angle. It's positioned over the parking spaces, which there are 7 parking spaces that it takes away from the parking lot. So it's not taken away from anything that has to do with the condominium behind us or the business beside us. As a matter of fact, that whole high stakes and the furniture, more the whole parking lot, and included in our rent, we pay for 70% of the parking spaces. And these parking spaces are in the middle when you enter the lot, over on our side of the lot. So the tent will take away those 7 spaces, but again, has nothing to do with the adjacent property. And then I even looked just to see. So the average mid-sized truck is like 6.5 feet wide, and an average traffic lane is 12 feet, according to Google. So I'm looking at 40 feet. If you have 40 foot on side of that tent, that leads back to the community behind us. 2 trucks side by side is 13 feet, and then add 5 foot between them, 18 feet. You still have another 22 feet of clearance. There's no, it doesn't, and being 40 foot from the road, there's no way that it's going to interfere with traffic because we're set off. One way in, it's its own parcel anyway, but there's no way that you don't have enough room to go to the adjacent community behind us. There's 40 feet.
So what let me try to understand what you're saying. You're at 40 feet from the property line, and in your opinion, it doesn't impede the ability for traffic to go, come and go through that development.
Right, because when you come in, the entranceway is at the end of the lot.
Okay.
And the entranceway to go to the adjacent community, you're going back this way, and the businesses are over here.
If I may, because I know we've got a diagram in front of us, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman. Would it be helpful if the applicant showed us? Because when I look at this thing, I know I'm scratching my head trying to figure out exactly where on the thing this thing is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then that's why I'm trying to get a description for visual.
It's a little bit... gives you the actual site map.
Yeah, right here.
Site design.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to figure out.
So which corner? Okay, you're
54.
Yeah.
You are. So where this your building is in the center of the property, in Route 54.
That's where the tent would go. So the building, our building, is right at the bottom of the page.
No, we're looking at this here.
Are you looking?
You were looking at the property survey. And on the survey, it shows your building in the center of the property with parking spaces all the way around it, including parking spaces adjacent to Route 54. And your entrance is on the southeast side of the property. And where would the tent location be?
The tent is right by the parking spaces.
East side.
You see at the building, it would be on the east side.
East side, where there's 7, looks like, well, 6 spaces, parking spaces.
Right.
Okay. And so, therefore, it's set back further than the building,
yeah,
from Route 54.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Further than the building is, yes.
Okay. Okay.
But right in front of the entrance and exit.
What,
well, because typically what you don't see on this survey right here is, like, the parking spots that you're looking at, those are actually the ones right there at the building.
Mm-hmm.
There is a separate 7 spaces further out from that.
Okay.
It's a huge area right there.
Okay, okay.
The tent normally sits out there in the center over those.
So to the far east side of the property?
Right.
Okay.
So that's usually where the tent sits.
I see, okay. Okay. And the entrance for the neighboring property, is that where, is that east of that tent as well?
Yeah, it's all the way back in the right corner. Doesn't show it in here, but all the way.
So it's further east and north?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's gated.
It's gated?
It's north, but it's.
Okay. So they have to travel a bit of a distance from their gate out to 54, is that correct? I mean.
You have to go through that end, out that same entrance.
Oh, out the same entrance as yours?
Right.
Okay.
To us in High Stakes is, the building sits there, it's just one way in, one way out.
Okay.
That way feeds to the community behind us and feeds to the two businesses to the left.
Okay.
But it's the same one in and out.
Oh, okay. There we go. Now I've got a better understanding. Here's a picture right here.
Oh, there you go. I don't have that one.
Pictures, in this case, is worth a few words. Okay, so, in your opinion, this tent does not impede their ability to access their property?
No, not at all.
Okay.
More than enough room.
And in your opinion, now the question is, not does it have an adverse effect, but does it have a substantial adverse effect? Is there anything else that you can think of that would have an effect that would be negative or not negative on the property? For example, parking or foot traffic or those kinds of things.
No, because I mean there are so many parking spaces there now.
Mm-hmm.
We're never busy enough to use all the parking spaces that we have now.
I see.
And when we have those two events, our business jumps because everybody's coming down, everybody's opening up. But even then, maybe we use 70% of the parking spaces there. I doubt it.
Okay.
It's just not that that big of a store. The one thing that I spoke to the owner about when we were talking about coming for this, and well, I dropped him because I've never done this, but I know in Rehoboth, they have the variance there. They already have the permit. And their tent is all the way to the sidewalk.
Please use the microphone.
Oh,
so we get you on tape.
Their tent is all the way to the sidewalk right there beside the building. I mean, butted up right against it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I asked him about is because the first year when we opened it, I wasn't managing the store, but I was there. I know there was concerns about the size of the tent, not the traffic because there's plenty of room to drive in and out of there, but the fact of seeing off the back corner, seeing off the front corner, you couldn't just drive through there. You had to go sensibly through the parking lot, or you couldn't see. You had to. So my thought was, do we need to move the tent over some more rather than it being 40 foot away from the building, tying up the center of the parking lot? You know, which would cause more concerns, with the community behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just slide the tent over. It can't be a code violation, or at least I hope it's not, because that's what Rehoboth does. So if we just move it over,
mm-hmm.
that would open it up even, you drive two tractor trailers in there if you wanted to. So he was fine with that if that's the way I needed to go. So I'm prepared to move that tent over to alleviate some of that. I will say that Patty, the one girl that works for me there, she used to work for a Buckman who owns the property company that manages it.
Mm-hmm.
And she called him and spoke to him on the phone while I was there to find out, was there any issues? Because I know the first time we had the tent, there were issues. People didn't like the tent there, no bigger than the store, but for whatever reason, they didn't like where it was at.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he had no records on file of complaints or this or that, and I witnessed that because I was standing where she talked to him. And then from a safety aspect, there's no problems. There was 50 mile an hour winds last time we had it. Tent never moved, tent stationary, it's good. So I don't see a problem with a tent the way it is, but I also don't have a problem with moving the tent over if that makes everybody play nice and makes it better for the, or the people like it better that live behind us.
Okay, well, that may be, we may hear that. We may hear that. Your request is for 10 days. Two times a year, before, during, and after Memorial Day.
Right.
And before, during, and after Labor Day.
Right.
And we've, you know, heard from our director that that has been that 3 days, and I think that in your explanation, it takes 2 days to set up, 2 days to set down, right, and so forth. So you feel certain that 10 days is enough time to cover that whole interval of mm-hmm. put up and take down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what assurances do we have if we grant this that you'll adhere to that?
Well, that's how he sets it up with the company, because every time you get that tent, believe me, if you keep that tent an extra day, you have to pay for it.
Okay.
So, I mean, we only, because outside of those two, grabbing those two weekends, you're wasting money to have that tent up anyway, because okay. you're not going to do anything.
And what assurances do we have from your company that if it's very good and successful, that 4th of July won't be decided, oh, let's pop it up then?
Because you won't let us.
Well, we didn't let you before, but you seem to find a way to do it. But I was just asking, fair enough. Okay. Is that all of your testimony?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I kind of hearing all the other cases, I was glad that I printed this out. So I was reading it. I think that's... says number one and number two for criteria use.
No, the only criteria for your case is at the very bottom, where it's substantially substantially affect the not the five standards for a variance.
Right. Yeah, this one just had the two on there. So I mean, yeah, no, okay. I mean there's no. But like I said, I would be willing to. I'm fine with that if we need to move the tent over.
Okay.
Yeah, there's ample room now. But,
well. I see other people here, so we'll hear what's what, and maybe ask you to come back.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I've got questions.
I should ask for questions. It's my first night as chairman. Forgive me. Mr.
In the three times you had it, did you have any complaints?
The first time we did, the last two, I was just a salesman there, but I remember the first time when it went up, there were people in arms about, didn't like the size of it, how big it was, where it was sitting in the parking lot.
Okay.
Making it hard to see, you know, the back way and the front way when you're coming from the side because of the, you know, just the size of the tent. The last two times, no.
Same size tent?
Same tent, same place, same everything.
Okay.
They use the same holes.
So you think if you moved it over, it'd be a little bit better yet?
I think it's fine like it is. I mean, there's so much room on the other side of that tent. That,
okay.
But I also, my thought was, if that's going to be the issue, then let's just move it over because, I mean, the other store does it too, so I'd be fine with moving it over.
The first one you had complaints, second, the other two you did not have complaints.
No, yet. Nobody complained to me at all.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hold on, Mr. Mears.
What's your hours of operation?
We are Sundays is 11 to 6, Monday through Thursday. Well, let me back up because, yeah, well, it'll be the same. Monday through Thursday is 10 to 6, but then Friday or Saturday is 10 to 7.
Okay. The reason I ask, High Steaks is very popular.
Mm-hmm.
They've got those great cheese steaks that we all want.
Yeah, everybody loves.
Therefore, I'm very familiar with this situation because I go there for the cheese steaks.
Okay.
And I find it very hard to find a parking place. And that's without the tent.
Right.
Whether or not that creates a safety situation, I'm not sure. I'm familiar with the hazardous entrances, the deaths that occurred with pedestrians, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago. The only issue I see without hearing the opposition is the parking lot's usually full. Because High Stakes has those happy hours that
especially
everybody comes to,
mm-hmm.
followed by, you know, dinner specials and then bands at night. And I just have never thought that complex had enough parking to accommodate the business that it does.
And I wish a lot of that business or more of that business was ours, but you're right.
I agree.
I mean, Butch packs it
they
in
take
there
your parking.
And on Sundays when they have bingo and so forth. I mean,
yeah.
And football,
season. They take your parking.
They pack it in, and we're fine with that because we're not that busy. You know what I mean? That we need 70% of the parking lot. That's just the way that it's, yeah, that's just what we pay for. So,
well, as I said, but out here in the opposition's testimony, I know there's a parking problem, but then again, you're only taking away seven spots.
So you're 20 days a year in summer is make it or break it for seasonal business.
And really, it's those two key times, because for us, that's what gets the ball rolling and gets the inventory in. And at the end, that's what keeps us from having to shut down like everybody else does, because that's when we get to the skeleton crew. My son is the warehouse guy. That's when but he's in college, so it works for him. He goes to 2 days a week. We go down to two-person staff beside myself. They go to like 4 days a week, off and on, swap back and forth. You know, but without that, there's just not going to be enough for us to stay open year-round.
Thank you.
Well, you must be living in, or you must be located in the wrong place where I live, because they doesn't shut down Labor Day. So I'm kind of confused with that, and I feel that if there was a fire and you had that tent up, and with that parking situation, I don't think the fire trucks could get around in there. I'm very familiar with the area.
That's true.
You know?
Well,
I mean, you've got to protect life. And
because it is wider than the parking spots that are being consumed.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear what the other people have to say, though.
Well, I would only address that with, like, High Stakes gets Cisco trucks, 18-wheelers brought in there back and forth. And our Ashley trucks are the 18-wheeler tractor and trailers.
Yeah, they come and during the day.
And they come, yeah, but, I mean, they fit as far as if a fire truck would fit. They back all the way down to High Stakes and unload, and then they back to our door and unload.
If that parking lot was full of cars and there was a fire, that's a different situation.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Cisco comes during the early morning, early afternoon.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Our trucks usually come around.
Yeah, I agree with that.
4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Calloway. Any questions, Mr. Sharp?
Yeah. So, Mr. Workman, I don't know if he has a question.
Mr. Workman, is there a right-of-way road that goes all the way around it?
Yes.
So you should not really have any trouble with fire trucks at all. That's a road going all the way around that place.
All the way around.
They're not allowed to
block fire lane.
The fire lane. So, I mean, you really don't have a problem with fire lane because...
Let me just have that picture back.
Here's the question.
You can't get all the way down.
If I...
Do you want one of those pictures?
That parking lot gets so packed that people park where they're not supposed to.
Well, then it becomes a parking issue and not an issue about the tent.
But down on this end, you can't get all the way around.
Well, then some local authorities need to make sure that's clear.
That shouldn't be his fault, though.
Right.
I mean, how can one
That's the way it's set up, but you can't get all the way around the building is what I'm telling you.
But he's not creating that, though.
The way the design was.
Right.
With or without the tent, you couldn't get all the way around the building.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't.
So, with or without a tent, that's an issue and not.
Right. The local authorities are local.
Right. The authorities should be making sure that's cleared for the fire companies.
Sure. That'd be impressive.
I'm telling you that you can't go all the way around the building. You're not listening.
Yes, I am.
Yes, we are.
We are.
See, there's like it ends here.
Okay.
All right.
But how long has it been like that? Can't get right in that building.
Ever. Forever.
So that's where I'm confused at. If it's been like that forever, then why did you just now is that an issue never been brought before?
Yeah, the tent doesn't cause that issue.
No. The tent didn't cause the issue.
Sure.
Right?
It doesn't, but it's potential.
I know, but that's where I'm confused. If it's been like that forever, then all of a sudden how does the tent bring it to the forefront? Why hasn't it been brought before? Not because of this. I mean by the people that's in or the businesses or the... Who or whatever, why didn't they address it before? Is the tent what caused it? The issue to come to the forefront or what? If you endure it twice a year.
Let's hear what they have to say.
Yeah, if I may, I've got some questions.
Mr. Workman, I believe, has additional questions.
I guess we could go back to the fire marshal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see if they get approval of that?
I guess our approval could be subject to approval from the fire marshal.
Yeah,
sure.
Approval from the fire marshal.
Yeah, we can make.
Now, one thing, and I think that you certainly have a right to make those kind of conditions on there, and that very well may be one that you wish to do. However, one of the other points that, and I think when I was reading this while you are discussing this, One of the points that I think is an issue is that neighboring community also fire access to them as well. And I think it's that would also be something, because they have that shared entrance. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I would like to ask Mr. Millman, are you right?
Yes.
I've got some questions for him about some of the photos that I've got here. One of the things that we're looking at, one of the members of the opposition that submitted letters, I don't know if you had a chance to come to the office and take a look at it, but they submitted some photos, and it looks like some vehicles that are parked, and the letter alleges that these were kind of blocked in their right-of-way, in their area, where they would be accessing their community, because as you testified, their access is looks like through your parking lot, looks like maybe some kind of easement area of some sort, at least for part of it. So this is a photo. I don't know if perhaps you could come up here so you can get a little better look. There's some vehicles here. Whereabouts are those? Because I don't know if the person who wrote this letter is here today. But this is something that shows some vehicles that appear to, the letter indicates they're in the right-of-way.
Yeah, the entranceway into is back here. So those vehicles, because this is just an open lot, there's nothing there.
Okay.
And those vehicles park there, but right here where those vehicles are, that would be where you go into the gated community. That would be right
back here. So these aren't parking spaces here?
No.
Okay, so do you know why vehicles would have been parked there?
I'm sure he can attest. When that place fills up next door, high stakes, they park everywhere. They park in no parking places. They park where they're supposed to.
Okay. All right. I don't know if anybody cares to take a look at that picture that he's shown that. And there was also a photo here, because one of the questions I had, that you had indicated that the tent has got a certain size of it. Is everything confined inside the tent?
Yes.
Okay, and I ask that because if you come up here, there's another picture that someone has submitted. And again, I presume this is the tent at your location.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like there's people milling out and there's furniture outside the tent. Is that common? Is that something you keep an eye on? How do you?
It is during the day. During the day, there's some sets that we pull out right where the tent opening is. We set a set over here on this side, set a set over on this side. And then when we close the tent, we push the sets right inside.
Okay, how far do those things extend out?
Three feet.
Okay, and then maybe some area for people to walk around another 3-4 foot around that, perhaps?
Yeah, well, because the tent sits back further than the building does.
Uh-huh.
So actually, those sets there are probably still the behind the side. To the front of the building. So they're literally right in front of the tent on the side, so before you walk into the tent.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're right there.
All right. I mean, I didn't know if you had seen that, so I certainly wanted to give you a chance to look at it, because it was something that I had noticed there.
And then we pull those in and out.
And did anybody want to see that? I don't know if you sent back that or you had a chance to look at it. Were there, as far as security on that, do you have any lighting? Is it locked down at night? How do you secure it?
Yes, we close it up, and then we have a guy who actually spends the night there, security, making sure that nothing happens to any of the furniture. So the tent completely shuts down. It's just straps, it straps together, it closes down, and then the guy stays in there all night. He actually is paid to stay there all night.
On a sleep sofa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
All right, I don't have any further questions at the moment, but thank you for take a look at those.
I have a couple other questions from members.
Other questions. The steak place, I'm not familiar with that place at all. When they have functions, and you're there all the time, is that parking lot parked and cars parked all over the place too?
Yeah, they do that all the time.
All the time.
It's every weekend. Matter of fact, just the other day, I had my son go over to the hardware store there and buy some of the red marker that you mark for electric and all. And take two of the parking spots right by the container back there, because even we put signs up and they pull the sign out and throw the sign down. Twice now I've caught the people actually get out of the truck, take the pallet that we put there so there's no parking, take the pallet and throw it in the marsh grass, and I have to get my son to go get it out of the marsh grass to put it back, because if we can't open that container to get the furniture out, somebody comes to pick up. They're blocking it. So it happens all the time. So we just painted that last week.
just to say no parking, please do not park.
So that's a normal thing there like that.
But it's all the time. It's,
yes. So really for a fire truck and that.
Well, I will say.
Whoever's had that alarm at that time.
Right.
Nothing you're going to do about it.
And the way that parking lot is, you can take, like our truck, we had the great big box truck, but it's not an 18-wheeler, and it's not as big as like a fire truck. And our truck can go around, or a car can go all the way around the building, the parking lot. But like a fire truck, there's no way. The way it's designed at that end down there, there's no way he's going to be able to turn that corner to get around there. A car, yes. And our truck, that's the limit of it. It's the
first 18-wheeler?
Six.
Six.
Car truck.
Right. And that's the limit.
Trailer or something, a fire truck go around there.
Because like the Cisco, all the 18-wheelers, they back down that back way and back to it.
Back to it?
Mm-hmm. They back up and unload. The same as our Ashley truck. He comes in, and then he'll turn around, and he'll back around the corner. Yeah, so if the tents are or not.
I just want to see what the traffic was before the tent was over there.
It's like that all the time. It's always like that.
So then what you're saying, then when Walgreens were there, then their trucks couldn't get around that all the way around there either then?
An 18-wheeler, I don't think you're going to pull an 18-wheeler.
But I mean, they had trucks coming in that big 18-wheelers too, correct?
Yes.
I mean, so they couldn't get around that back either then?
No.
So, okay. And you got 6-wheelers, and they had 18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Mears.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mears.
I'd like to build on Mr. Sharp's question about the size of the tent, 40 by 60, and whether or not there's things on the outside of the tent. Aren't there stakes driven into the parking lot and ropes on the outside of the tent,
mm-hmm.
which does take up more space than 40 by 60? Or is the tent, is the tent itself 40 by 60, or does the 40 by 60 include the stakes and the ropes that secure the tent against high winds?
My understanding is from side to side, from stake to stake, 40 feet, and then from the other end is 60 feet. That's my understanding. Okay. Whether that is or not, I'd have to get more clarity.
Then most parking spaces are 20 feet deep.
Well, and there's only 7 there anyway.
Yeah, there's only 7.
But you're looking at, if you've got
the stakes and the tie-down ropes beyond the 40 by 60, this parking lot drawing representation doesn't represent how the traffic flow is restricted. So if it was to be approved, we'd have to stipulate that the stakes and the ropes must be within the 40 by 60.
Or to move it over some. Yeah.
Well,
and I mean, that would be okay.
My question then would be, how does a 40 by 60 tent fit in a 20 by 70 parking space? Well, 20 parking spaces aren't much more if they are longer than 20 feet each. Most parking spaces are 10 by 20.
Are you referring to, like, why is it only covering 7 spaces?
Well, the width of 7 spaces is approximately 7 feet because the average parking space is 10 feet wide and 20 feet deep.
Okay.
So in the other dimension of 40 feet, how does that 40 feet fit in a 20-foot parking space?
Well, there's only 7 spots. That's wide open out there. There's 7 single spots right out there in the middle, and that's it.
So it's actually taking those 7 plus.
Yeah, it takes those 7 away.
Plus additional.
There's no other parking around it that it takes away.
Okay, so you're taking more space than those 7 parking spaces. Okay.
That's just open space.
Is that into the road, or is that?
No, that's towards our building. Because it sets up on those 7 spots that are out there, and then comes towards our building.
Oh, towards your building. Okay, and then access to the property is
right, and then you still have the spaces that are right against the building.
Mm-hmm.
We're just taking that middle part away, is all.
Okay.
And then you can still drive between the spaces and the tent on that one side too.
Okay.
So, there's plenty of room there.
All right,
Mr. Chairman, if I have one quick one, have you noticed any problems with traffic from that gated community to the northeast when the tent has been up or when the tent has not been up, with access from there, from over the parking area there? Like their access to 54, have you noticed any backups or issues with access for them?
No, I've never seen that. The only issue ever there is just getting out of the parking lot, you know, in the middle of summer, just because 54 is so congested, you know, waiting for people to let you out. But like from their community out there or from our store, there's nothing with or without that tent. doesn't make a difference to that at all.
It's still a vehicle problem.
Yeah, it's just a matter of the 54 so flooded with traffic all the time to get out of there, period, is, I mean, sometimes you sit there, like when we close down, ready to go home, you have to sit there for 5 minutes till somebody will let you out because it's just so congested down that road. But that's every day all summer.
Very well, thank you. Okay. No other questions, then I will ask, is there anyone here in favor of the application? And I see no hands, therefore there must be people in opposition. By show of hands, one, how many you got on that side? Two, I can't see
it's
behind
eight.
You. Eight, okay, eight and 10. Show of 10 hands in opposition. I assume that someone or more than someone would like to speak. If so, please come forward now to be sworn in. And I will only ask one time, those who wish to speak, please come forward and be sworn in.
I'll just get your name and swear you on at the same time.
And I will. Let me tell you up front and ahead of time, redundant testimony, we prefer not to rehear the same thing over. So if you agree with what someone's already said, then please say so and
tell John.
We can move on.
Randy Wallenhorst, I reside at his names.
If you want to.
Name and address.
39770 East Sun Drive, unit 125.
Sir, can you, we're trying to swear in, so I can't, these mics are kind of sensitive, so.
Do it again. Randy Wallenhorst, 39770 East Sun Drive, unit 125.
Okay, thank you. If you could step aside, I'm going to get you all your names and addresses and swear you all at the same time.
Linda Bowers, 39063 Beacon Road, Fenwick Island, Delaware.
Thank you, ma'am.
George Bennett, 39023 Beacon Road, Fenwick.
Thank you.
Sandra Simpkins, 39075 Beacon Road.
Okay. Mr. Sharp, hold on just a second, sir. Sir, do you wish to speak?
No.
Okay, you want to hand something in?
I did want to hand something in. I'm sorry for the interruption.
That's okay.
This gentleman has, he wants to read. I just wonder if you want to see if that's all.
Sure. And
you can submit that.
You can
submit that.
How about if the person who's going to read it gets the copy and then submits it, so then we don't have somebody who's not sworn in submitting information.
Okay.
That's fine. If he wants to hand in, that's fine too. So.
Thank you very much.
Sure, not a problem.
Thank you all very much.
All right, now do the four of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And if you, when you go up one at a time, if you can just state your name again for the record, since we have four of you, if there's any exhibits that you wish to submit into the record, you can send them down to Ms. Cornwell there at the end.
Okay.
So, and I believe you were first, and we'll just go in the order you were sworn in.
And my apologies, but if we can just recess for about 5 minutes, I'm sure Mr. Calloway would like to hear that as well, and we'll just recess for 5 minutes and... if anybody needs to take a short break.